This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Jay Dyer is set to take over just in about 6-7 minutes. And I wish I could get to all your calls and try right out as many as I can. But I really have good faith and a good will towards everybody. And I hope we can fix this. But at the end of the day, God's in charge. And all the deceivers will pay in the end. The vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Denison, Kentucky. Here on the air. Thanks for holding. Go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Jones. First off, I wanted to say worldwide, we're looking at Margaret Sanger on steroids. Domestically, we're looking at Operation Chaos and Operation COINTELPRO on steroids. But I would really love if you can get Greg Reese to do a report about PASLA, Pacific Asian Securities Lending Association, and their members is far greater than what I expected to see once I got on their website, sir. Thank you.
Elaborate on that group.
Well, this is a securities borrowing lending is in a very competitive business. I'm reading right from their website. While individual firms involved in the business may have their own unique marketing and business development strategy in Asia, the member firms believe that PASLA, as a collective group of major firms in the industry, provides an important benefit to Asian securities regulators, stock exchange, and monetary authorities by providing an industry consensus on the issues that affect the development of all the security lending business.
Which means they're a unified group.
This is a unified group, and they got some of the biggest members known that I have ever seen in my life. I mean, everybody.
Well, that's BlackRock. BlackRock's 88% of the whole economy worldwide. That was in congressional reports today that they are running the CCP and giving them full weapons.
I can understand that, and this has got everybody from Goldman Sachs to J.P. Morgan Chase, all the way to BlackRock, Vanguard, State Street, and it's plenty of Chinese investment firms in this. There's a ton of Korean investment firms in this. I mean, Indonesia, I mean, Fidelity, Deutsche Bank, Citigroup, Fidel Enterprises, Asia Unlimited. I mean, these people are just BMO Capital. The people that's it's 59 members that's this is unreal.
Powerful. People are waking up. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Dennis. All right. Up next is Michael in California. You're on the air, Michael.
Doing, Alex.
Welcome.
All right. Well, you pretty much said it all with BlackRock. My reason for calling typically happens that way. But I pulled up a couple videos on that BitChute there, and I'm kind of concerned about it falls in line with that ADL stuff. There are multiple videos of Orthodox rabbis out of Israel. Yeah, that subject again, I know. But they're calling for the destruction of the West, which they say is the biblical Adam. And they're also calling for the destruction of what they're calling Amalek. Amalek in the Hebrew means doubters or like infidel non-believers. So my concern there is like the World Zionist Congress, you know, since the late 1800s, they've been convening and the protocols of Zion, all that junk, and all of this stuff that they've mentioned in all of these minutes at these meetings and diets, these things are being carried out right now. And a lot of us on this end are concerned that these people are doing it, and that's why we're all like the Jews. So, I mean, they say they hate Christ. They want to attack Christians and destroy Christianity. They want to take the land and rob us. What do we do? You know, I mean, I don't want to hate on everybody, but it's kind of hard when you have specific groups that are now taking over everything, targeting a bunch of us normal people who aren't doing anything wrong.
Well, there's no doubt the ADL is painting all opposition to the global government as anti-Semitic, which is not my perspective and not my goal, but I mean, it's open for debate because Elon Musk is obviously not anti-Semitic, neither is Trump, and the ADL says, well, you're not supporting all this, we're going to come after you. I'm going to ask Jay Dyer. He's already loaded for bear. He always does an incredible job. I always eat my lunch on Friday and listen to him. We're going to come back in 1 minute, though, and I'm going to ask Jay Dyer his view on this and the dialectic, and he'll take over. to Melissa and Jennifer and Tammy and Mike. I'm sorry. And Brad, I try to get to everybody. I'm out of time, but I'll be back. More shows coming up. I'll talk to Jay Dyer straight ahead. Stay with us.
The most powerful InfoWars life formula yet, DNA Force Plus, is now back in stock for 25% off while supplies last. This elite formula contains the most cutting-edge enzymes, potent antioxidants, and traditional naturally occurring ingredients to protect the vitality of your very DNA. The powerhouse ingredients in DNA Force Plus include QQQ, CoQ10, organic reishi mushroom, astragalus root, rhodiola root, and an array of even more incredible antioxidants and extracts carefully chosen to help support healthy heart function while promoting energy production down to the cellular level. Provide your cells and DNA with the protection they need and try a bottle of DNA Force Plus today for 25% off. Or for an additional 10% off, grab the combo pack with DNA Force Plus and Body Soul Support. These offers and so much more are only available at InfoWarsStore.com.
Rallying patriots worldwide in defense of human liberty. It's Alex Jones.
One of my favorite researchers is Jay Dyer. What a great talk show host. I'm always blessed to have him Fridays through the fourth hour. And you have the ADL branding everything as veto support censorship and global government, Ukraine war. You're anti-Semitic. Elon Musk is anti-Semitic. Donald Trump's anti-Semitic. It's preposterous. But what's the larger, from a guy that has written a bunch of best-selling books and has a massive library, and it really mainly quotes the globalist, who's really in charge of the New World Order, Jay? And what's going on with Judaism? Because we know Israel, 70% are against Netanyahu, but still he's in charge. Or 70% are against Trudeau, but he's still in charge. Parliamentary system. So I don't want to see Jews as one block because the majority of them don't even like what Netanyahu is doing. I'm not even attacking Netanyahu. I'm just saying the bigger picture, deep distillation. I'm going to let you talk and just turn it over to you. You can change subject whenever you want. I won't be here anymore. I'm going to be listening. But obviously, this they're trying to put Jews in front of the New World Order. They're trying to make it front and center. What do you make of that from your deep research? What do the globalist texts say and what really runs the New World Order?
Yeah, I think that amongst, like you said earlier in the show, the power blocks that exist, there's multiple factions vying for power, and I think most of the big geopolitical texts speak of it that way. Different factions, different groups, different mafias would like to have the upper hand. That requires working together amongst a lot of different mafias. You know, look at the way the Sicilian mafia and the other mafias all work together in the 20th century. And that's a kind of a model for the big macro picture of how I understand the geopolitics of the New World Order working. And so I think when you said earlier in the show, the real issue is not different people groups, because evil isn't restricted to any biological or genetic determinism. Evil is, in my view, a moral action. It's not something that people have in their DNA or in their group. Any specific group can act evil. Any individual person can act evil, and evil is an action. It's not a collective entity. Evil is also something, like I said, that we do morally, and it pertains to spiritual realities, in my view. So I think the head of the New World Order ultimately is Lucifer, is Satan. And then underneath that power structure, you have these competing mafias that would like to have the upper hand. And if you look at, you know, the modern nation state of Israel post Balfour and Sykes-Picot, this was really something that the British government helped to set up. And I think they did that as a way to have a beachhead, to have an Anglo-American establishment nation state as a proxy that they could set up in the Middle East to run operations. And that's why we see that eventually the nation of Israel that's reestablished then gets tired of the British having, you know, been their rulers there. And then there's bombings and so forth that moves them towards.
Exactly. Just like Hitler and Stalin turned on each other. There's constant double crossing.
Yeah, it's a way oversimplification to try to make everything about one of the mafias or one of the groups. There's always this coordination, and certainly there are very powerful groups in all of these areas. And, you know, when I read a lot of the texts of these people, like Brzezinski or David Rockefeller, they interpret and understand these kinds of distinctions amongst people groups or religions as pieces on the chessboard, as tools, right? So they're able to utilize these distinctions, and they can push these differences as techniques of divide and conquer, as techniques of dialectics, as you said earlier. How can we foster disagreements in the Middle East? Well, there's an ancient rivalry between, you know, Islam and Judaism, for example. You know, if you look at research, I've gone really deep into the history of Islam in the last 4 years. Prior to that, I knew a little bit about Islam, but not a lot of it. I didn't know about a lot of the textual history and a lot of what was actually in the Quran. So I've gotten a lot deeper into that. And a lot of those texts bear a really fanatical hatred between Judaism and Islam. And so that divide there can be pushed. That can be utilized on a bigger scale, and it might be utilized in, for example, Europe. I think there's a larger plan to Islamicize Europe, and you can read about that. The global elite talked about that 100 years ago. People like Bertrand Russell, people in the Royal Society said they would use the Fabian, so they would use Islam as a way to completely change the makeup, the look of Europe. Now, they're not doing that because they believe Islam. They just saw it as a way to change the existing Christian structure that was there that they saw as a stumbling block. So when I look at people like, you know, Tiny Mustache Man, and I read Dr. Carol Quigley as well as Anthony Sutton and multiple other texts, and if you read Brzezinski, he actually cites Anthony Sutton. So Brzezinski himself sees Sutton as a legitimate, valid source for this stuff. And Sutton and Sutton and Quigley talk about the Bank of England is who really sent money to Hitler. There's a whole section in Tragedy and Hope. It was I think Schroeder Bank. Alan Dulles had a role, I think, at Schroeder Bank. I think it's page 1059 or 1049 of Tragedy and Hope, discussing the fact that the Western elites, it's not just banking houses, it's also corporate industries that really helped to build up Hitler and his government. And they wanted Hitler to go into Poland. They wanted that war, the Western establishment as a whole. And so it wasn't just one person or one group wanting that war. It was very wealthy, very powerful elites wanting that war for multiple reasons, to make money off of ammunitions and debt for the future, when Germany lost, the future generations of the German people would then be forever into debt to the West. That's that whole World Bank IMF model of perpetual generational debt enslavement. So that's not restricted to any single group of people. If you can go back to the Middle Ages, for example, Jews didn't have a whole lot of power in the Middle Ages. They were in the minority pretty much everywhere they were. And it wasn't Jews in the Middle Ages, for example, that were able to push usury. A lot of people identify usury in the West with Jews. And it's true that Judaism allows for usury. But that couldn't have happened in the West if the papacy had not, for example, changed its position on the promotion and allowance of usury, which happened in the Renaissance period. So there's a lot of examples of this, which I think make it more complex than it's all that group, it's all that group. I think all these groups work together at certain levels and at certain times for different ends. And I think that right now we're seeing a lot of powerful groups vying for control of the global power structure and all that. But I don't think that in the end, you know, if you were in China, for example, it's true that, you know, China has made deals with people in the Clinton administration back in the 90s. They made deals with the Israelis at different points. But I don't think that from the Chinese perspective, for example, they envision a future that is, you know, Jewish. I think they envision a future that's Chinese. Haven't they put out a document, you know, explaining their long-term 100,000-year geopolitical plan for the dominance of China? So I think you're right to bring up that different power blocks have different motivations and different end games. And there can be, you know, competing levels of power and influence in different ways. Now, certainly in the West, we see a lot of influence from, you know, AIPAC and these kinds of things. But there's also a tremendous amount of influence from Islam, Saudi Arabia, Islamic banking, for example. People don't talk about Islamic banking. Banking is thought to be, you know, just a Jewish thing, but actually there's a large, very powerful international Islamic banking structure. And that ties into the history of the funding, for example, of radical terror groups, the Muslim Brotherhood. Robert Dreyfus has a really good book on this called Devil's Game, for example. Mark Curtis has a really good book called Secret Affairs, which he's a Royal Society researcher, and I've done lectures through these books on my YouTube channel years ago. And these books really illustrate the way that the Western establishment has attempted to utilize radical Islam, not just going back to the divvying up of the Middle East through people like Lawrence of Arabia, but that same model has been adopted by the CIA post, you know, 1950s and 60s, when they discarded pan-Arabism and then adopted the model of the British Empire of using radical Islam. So the British Empire had a strategy that they wanted to capture and control Mecca. That was one of the British imperial strategies there that had to do with competing with Ottoman Empire at the time. So when you
Airlines have just reduced their prices even more. Book 30 days in advance and save big.
Want the absolute lowest prices on your airline tickets? Then call the low-cost airlines travel hotline right now for prices so low we can't publish them anywhere. The only way to access our low rates and save up to 70% is to call. Save hundreds on your vacation tickets by calling right now. You can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go, and pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. 802-341-4535. That's 802-341-4535.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to GCNfood.com. GCNfood.com.
No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Establishment CFR historian and archivist. So that we're basically getting the admission that this was done for the purpose of giving a justification for the invasion of Poland. I'm talking about this false flag event. Another false flag event involving the SS was, or excuse me, Nazi German leader Franz Halder testified that together with Hermann Göring, they had set fire to the German Parliament building in 1933, and they blamed it on a slow boy who claimed to be a communist who was the patsy. Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev admitted that the Soviet Red Army shelled the Russian village of Manila in 1939 and blamed it on Finland. This gave a basis, then, a justification for launching the Winter War against Finland. This was later admitted to and discussed by Boris Yeltsin. Of course, Yeltsin himself was a Western CIA asset to help loot Russia after the fall of the wall. Number five, the Russian parliament admitted that Putin and former Soviet leader Gorbachev, that Stalin had been involved in a secret police order to execute 22,000 Polish officers in 1940, and this was blamed on the Nazis. So you see that this is a technique and a tactic that's used all the time. It doesn't make the other side that's the victim necessarily the good guys. It means they're innocent in this event, but it doesn't mean that they're necessarily angel cakes or good people, right? The British government admitted that between 1946 and 1948, that it had bombed five ships carrying Jews attempting to flee persecution in Germany and seek refuge in Palestine. They set up a fake group called the Defenders of Arab Palestine and then had this pseudo group claim responsibility for this event. In 1954, Israel admits that an Israeli cell operating in Egypt bombed several buildings, including the U.S. diplomatic facility. And this evidence was left behind then to implicate Arabs as the culprits. This stokes, again, Middle Eastern conflict. The CIA admitted that it hired Iranians in the 1950s to pose as communists and stage bombings in Iran in order to turn the country against the democratically elected Prime Minister Mohammad Mossadegh, and this helps to bring in the Shah, who was a CIA man, all declassified, right, Operation Ajax. The Turkish Turkish Prime Minister admitted that the Turkish government carried out the 1955 bombing of a Turkish consulate in Greece, which damaged the nearby birthplace of the founder of modern Turkey, and it was blamed on Greece for the purpose of inciting and justifying anti-Greek versus Turk violence. Number 10, the British Prime Minister admitted to his defense secretary and American President Dwight Eisenhower that they approved of a plan in 1957 to carry out attacks on Syria and blamed it on the Syrian government as a way to effect a regime change. Very similar, by the way, to what we saw in the 2010s with the chemical weapons attack supposedly blamed on Assad. They used the White Helmets was a front organization that was all fake. The chemical attack was then later proven and shown to be staged by the BBC. The BBC is involved in that staging. Former Italian minister and judge, former head of Italian intelligence, counterintelligence, admitted that NATO, with the help of the Pentagon, the CIA, this is, of course, is Operation Gladio, headed up by Kissinger, carried out terror bombings in Italy via Gladio and other European countries in the 1950s that was blamed on left and communist groups in order to rally support for the governments in Europe in the fight against communism. Now, does that mean that I think communism and Marxism is good? Of course not. I think they're horrible atheistic systems. But I'm willing to admit that that doesn't make it good and right to engage in Gladio-style terror operations in France, Belgium, Denmark, Germany, Greece, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, UK, where black op hit teams engage in these kinds of operations. One participant in the Gladio operation said, "You have to attack civilians, people, women, children, innocents in order to be and unknown people far removed from the politics. The reasoning was quite simple. This would then force the Italian public to turn to the state for greater security and against any notions of, quote, liberalism. 1960, American Senator George Smothers suggested that the U.S. launch a false flag on Guantanamo Bay, which then gave an excuse to hype up tensions and go to war with Castro. 13, State Department showed that in 1961, the head of the Joint Chiefs of Staff and other officials discussed blowing up a consulate in the Dominican Republic to justify an invasion of the Dominican Republic. Plans were not carried out. However, they were discussed as serious proposals. Number 14, the U.S. government recently declassified documents in 1962 that showed that the American Joint Chiefs of Staff signed off on a plan to blow up American airplanes and to commit terror acts on American soil and then again blame it on Cuba and to justify an invasion of Cuba. That doesn't mean that I think Cuban communism or Castro is a good guy. I think he's a total globalist. This is just demonstrating that false flags are not foreign to the historical military record. They're actually pretty normal when it comes to how the state or how governance actually occurs. In the following ABC report, official documents show that the former Washington investigative reporter for ABC's World News Tonight with Peter Jennings discusses that American Airlines report. That was part of number 14. Number 15, in 1963, the U.S. Defense Department wrote a paper promoting attacks on nations within the Organization of American States, such as Trinidad, Tobago, or Jamaica, that would then also be falsely blamed on Cuba. So quite a few of these at that time were related to Cuba. Number 16, the Defense Department suggested covertly paying a person in the Cuban Castro government to attack the United States. This would then give a justification again for some sort of operation against Cuba. Number 17, the NSA admits that it lied about what really happened in the Gulf of Tonkin. In 1964, there was a manipulation of data to make it look like the North Vietnamese had fired on the U.S. ship. This created a justification for the Vietnam War, and it was actually Jim Morrison of the Doors, his dad, Admiral Morrison, that was on the ship involved in that event. Number 18, U.S. Congressional Committee admitted that as part of its COINTEL program, the FBI used many provocateurs in the 1950s throughout the 1970s that carried out violent actions and falsely blamed it on political activists. Now, you might say, well, but those were radical leftists, and so maybe the system had to do that to shut down the crazy leftists. We understand that the system nowadays does the exact same thing to all of the right-wing groups that are out there. Number 19, a top Turkish general admitted that the Turkish forces burned down a mosque in Cyprus in 1970 and then blamed it on the Cypriots. The general explained, in this special war, acts of sabotage are staged and blamed on the enemies to increase public resistance. We did this against Cyprus. We even burned down a mosque. In response to the surprised correspondent's incredulous look, the general said, I'm just giving you one example. German government admitted in 1978 the German Secret Service detonated a bomb in the outer wall of a prison and planted the escape tools on the prisoner involved in the Baader-Meinhof Red Army faction, which the Secret Service then wished to blame the bombing on. Number 21, a Mossad agent admits, this is, I think, Victor Ostrovsky's book, By Way of Deception. In 1984, Mossad planted a radio transmitter on Gaddafi in his compound in Tripoli, Libya, which broadcast fake terrorist transmissions recorded by Mossad in order to frame Gaddafi as a terrorist supporter. As a result, Reagan then bombed Libya afterwards. Number 22, South African Truth and Reconciliation Council found that in 1989, the Civil Cooperation Bureau, a covert branch of the South African Defense Force, approached an explosives expert and asked him to participate in an operation aimed at discrediting the ANC, African National Congress, thus framing the ANC. That doesn't mean, by the way, that I think the ANC is good. I think they're terrible, but the point is that this is just another example of false flag operations. So we're through about half of the list. When we come back from this break, we'll go through the other half of this list of 40-plus false flags admitted on the Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Jay Dyer of Jay's Analysis.
The Satanic New World Order is betting against humanity. They're betting on our weakness. They believe they can destabilize civilization and bring us down to the ashes of history. trap they've laid for us will be their destruction, not ours. If we trust in God, and if we are valiant and have courage to speak the truth and not comply and engage in civil disobedience and not join the masses who have decided that they are the scum of the earth, who have decided that they will join with this soulless corporate system. As for InfoWars, we are going to steadfastly continue to fight in the information war with our weapon, the truth, against the enemies of humanity. And we put our faith, and we put our trust, and we put our destiny in the hands of God. Because it's been said a trillion times, if God be with us, who can be against us?
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discovery on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Donald Trump warned America. The U.S. dollar is under attack and it's becoming less and less valuable by the day. Hyperinflation and speculation is killing your retirement. Don't leave your money sitting in cash. It's time you diversified and protected your future with physical precious metals. Call Advantage Gold at 800-900-8000 and get your free digital dollar survival kit and learn how you could get up to $1,000 in free silver today. Call Advantage Gold now at 800-900-8000 to get your free digital dollar survival kit. And you may qualify for $1,000 in free silver. Advantage Gold is the number one rated gold and silver company in America. Your future is precious. Protect it today when you call Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000 now.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor. Check with your financial advisor before investing.
That's 800-900-8000.
What if Extendivite really works, but you find that hard to believe and you spend precious time looking for someone to say, just try it? I have my health today because of Extendivite, and if I did not take a leap of faith and try it, well, I would be on disability today. Take one bottle of Extendivite as suggested for 60 days to find out for yourself. No need to stop any other meds you may be on. You know by now that they are not working for you. Before the 60 days are up, I know that you will feel Extendivite working for you and will want to take another bottle. Life is too short. Get your Extendivite today. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Welcome back to the Off Show. I'm your guest host, J.R. Jay's Analysis, and we are working through the classic article that's over at Washington's blog that might have been forgotten. And since we're kind of in the week still, I guess you could say, of the remembrance of the Big Nine event from 2001, we're only a few days after that, I thought it would be good to rehearse this principle of false flag operations and how that ties into what Alex was talking about today with dialectical manipulation. And number 23 is where we got to. An Algerian diplomat and several officers in the Algerian army admitted that in the 1990s, the Algerian army frequently massacred Algerian civilians and blamed Islamic militants for the killing. And that's actually in the French press that is cited there. So again, all of these are mainstream sourced. They're not sourced from conspiracy websites. And I would add too that that doesn't make Islamic militants or Islamic philosophy good. Remember that, again, this is a technique that any state or power can use as an opposition force. And even those not in power can conceivably use it. It doesn't have to be the state. It can be, you know, small cells of guerrilla operators who do not have, state power. They could also conceivably engage in this. Number 24, an Indonesian fact-finding team investigated the violent riots from 1998, which determined that elements of the military had been involved in provoking the riots, and thus it was a stage provocateur event, not an organic riotous event. Number 25, senior Russian military and intelligence officers admitted that the KGB was involved in blowing up a Russian apartment building in the 1990s, and this was blamed on the Chechens as part of the justification of an invasion of Chechnya. Number 26, the Washington Post admitted in 2002 that an Indonesian police and military killed American teachers in Papua in 2002 and blamed it on the Papuan separatist group in order to get that group listed as a terrorist organization. So this was done to just list this group and sort of out to ban them and get them shut down. Number 27, the well-respected Indonesian president admitted that the government played a role in the Bali bombings. Number 28, the BBC and New York Times and AP reported that Macedonian officials admit that the government murdered 7 innocent immigrants and pretended that these were Al-Qaeda cells to promote the war on terror in Macedonia. Number 29, senior officials in Genoa, Italy admitted that in 2001 at the G8 summit, the established the police, I believe, were involved in planting Molotov cocktails and stabbing of a police officer to justify the violent crackdown of the GA protesters. Number 30, the FBI admits that in 2001, the anthrax attacks carried out by one or more government scientists were actually U.S. government scientists. They were not Al-Qaeda operatives. 23, government officials also confirmed that the White House tried to link anthrax to Iraq, which was a false linking, and that was part of the justification for the Iraq war. Number 31, the U.S. blamed Iraq for playing a role in 9/11. This was shown by a memo from the Defense Secretary as one of the main justifications for the Iraq war. However, after Cheney and others had claimed this, there was no evidence or proof that Iraq had any involvement whatsoever in the 9/11 events. Number 32, former Justice Department lawyer John Yoo suggested in 2005 that the U.S. should go on the offensive against Al-Qaeda and use intelligence agencies to create fake terror cells and organizations that would have their own websites, their own recruitment centers, their own training camps, their own fundraising operations, which is kind of what ISIS and all of that is. So kind of spilling the beans there. Number 33, UPI, United Press International, in 2005, admitted, quote, U.S. intelligence officers reporting that some of the insurgents in Iraq are using Beretta 92 pistols. The serial numbers, however, have been erased. The numbers do not appear to have been physically removed. The pistols are actually seem to have come off of the line in production without any serial numbers. This suggests, according to some analysts, that the weapons were intended for intelligence operations or terrorist cells with substantial government backing. Analysts then speculated that these guns were probably delivered from either Mossad or the CIA. Analysts speculate that the agent provocateurs may have been using untraceable weapons, even as U.S. authorities used insurgent attacks against civilians as evidence of illegitimacy of the resistance. Number 34, undercover Israeli soldiers admitted in 2005 to throwing stones at other Israeli soldiers to blame on Palestinians, which was used as an excuse to crack down peaceful protests of the Palestinians. Number 35, the Quebec police admitted in 2007 that thugs carrying rocks to a peaceful protest were actually undercover Quebec police officers. 36, at the G20 protest in London in 2009, British Member of Parliament admitted to seeing plainclothes officers attempting to incite the crowd to violence. Number 37, Egyptian politicians admitted that the government employees looted priceless museum artifacts in 2011 to discredit protesters. Number 38, Colombian Army colonel admitted that his unit murdered 57 civilians and then dressed them in uniforms and claimed there were rebels killed in combat. number 30. By the way, Operation Mincemeat or the sinking of the Lusitania, these are other examples that are not on this list. Mincemeat, of course, is well known, and there's a whole movie about Operation Mincemeat, which came out fairly recently. That was involving Ian Fleming and others in setting up a staged dead body to mislead the German military. The highly respected writer for the Telegraph, Ambrose Evans Pritchard, this number 39, says that the head of Saudi intelligence, Prince Bandar, admitted that the Saudi government controls Chechen terror networks. Number 40, high-level American sources admitted that the Turkish government, which is a fellow NATO country, carried out chemical weapons attacks and blamed the Syrian government. High-ranking Turkish government admitted on tape plans to carry out these attacks and then blame it on Syria. Exactly. That's what I mentioned earlier. Number 41, the former Ukrainian security chiefs admitted that the sniper attacks, which started the Ukrainian coup, were actually carried out in order to frame others. So this relates directly to the war in the Ukraine. Back in 2014, the snipers, which riled up the crowd, the Maidan coup and all that, that was actually engineered by the West. Britain's spy agency, British Intelligence, has admitted, number 42, that it carries out digital false flags by attacks on targets by framing people by writing offensive or unlawful materials and then blaming it on them via sock puppets. In addition, two-thirds of the city of Rome burned in 64 AD under Nero, and the Emperor Nero blamed the Christians for this event, famous historical false flag. In fact, as the author of the Washington Blogs post notes, some of the top Roman leaders, including the Roman consul Cassius, as well as historians like Suetonius, do agree that it's actually Nero that started the fire. This is based largely on the fact that the Roman Senate had just rejected Nero's application to clear 300 acres in Rome to build a giant palace. The fire then allowed him to build that palace. And so because this is such a common thing in warfare or in, regional conflicts, it actually has its own tagged name. Now, it doesn't mean that everything in warfare or everything, every event is fake or a false flag. That's certainly not true. These are just ones that are known and admitted in his list. There's actually others as well. Miles Copeland in his book, Game of Nations, the history of his operations with the CIA in Egypt, Syria and Egypt. There's a whole chapter, a whole section where he talks about his usage of radicals who were terrorists. So they're very useful to the CIA. But the point is that you have essentially, this is so common that it's got a term, a false flag operation, right? And, this list doesn't even include the 9/11 event, the Big Nine, which we just were reminded of 4 or 5 days ago. I think there's, if you look at the history of that event, there's all kinds of indicators, clues that show very similarly that it was one of those same types of events. If you look at the way that a controlled demolition occurs, if you look at the PNAC documents ahead of time, if you look at Operation Vigilant Guardian, which was running drills of the same operations, if you look at Alex's interviews with Barry Jennings, all of those things I think speak to more and more of this phenomenon. So it's not a conspiracy theory, it's an admitted common thing in history.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while, we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track, not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Powdy Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue them up.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
Jones, so we were just covering 40 plus admitted by the establishment, historical, various establishments, historical false flag events, and how those events are used as a tool of manipulation to garner sympathy for the state, to frame an opponent, to start a war, to get funding, to get a group named as a terrorist organization. It's a very common, well-known tactic, and I think that most people think, well, I wouldn't operate that way, and so it's certainly not possible. The government cares about me, the system, and it cares about my life. They wouldn't lie about me. They wouldn't create a staged event or a real event and blame it on an enemy. That's just not very nice. Well, the power structure operates on a pragmatic basis. They operate on a pragmatic power basis. And when we read the writings of the elite, that's exactly what we find. We find that level of Machiavellianism, that level of manipulation, that level of psychopathy. You know, there's a phrase that comes up in psychology called the dark triad. And the dark triad traits in psychology are narcissism, psychopathy, and Machiavellianism. And sometimes they're not... Sometimes people have one or two of them, and maybe perhaps all three of them, but it doesn't really matter because it's a great way to describe the modus operandi of the establishment. And, you know, in today's discussion, there was a lot of concern about certain groups, but I want to give an example of somebody that many Israelis, for example, don't like. They don't like people like Zbigniew Brzezinski. And if you go and read a book like Between Two Ages, this is the book that when Henry Kissinger and David Rockefeller saw this text written by this young academic at the time in the 1970s, they said, here's a guy that we need to put in charge of some kind of group. And so in the early 70s, they put him in charge. In 1973, they put Zbigniew Brzezinski in charge of the Trilateral Commission, which is one of these higher level steering committees, peopled by a lot of people from the Council on Foreign Relations, which already existed since the 1920s. This is another higher level type of committee. Guess what? They did the same thing with another person you might have heard of called Klaus Schwab. And so the Harvard Project, headed up by Kissinger, said, take that Schwab guy, put him in charge of something. And so Klaus went from Bilderberg to the project they set up called Davos, or the World Economic Forum. So in other words, these individuals here running these kinds of situations, setting these kinds of things up, this is at the level of Kissinger, at the level of Brzezinski. Has a lot of CIA involvement, but this is, I think you could say, this is a level above normal intelligence operations. This is at the level of, the real movers and shakers in the power elite. And if we move through a little bit of Between Two Ages, you know, this is going on almost, I think, 2.5-3 years of hosting the fourth hour. I don't even recall if I've done a fourth hour on Brzezinski's Between Two Ages, but it works perfect, I guess, in the last a few minutes of the fourth hour here to get into the basics of this book. And you'll see why Brzezinski was so such a prodigy, I guess you could say, for the power structure, for the system to be recruited. Of course, Brzezinski's background was comes from a family of Polish nobility. And thus there was a kind of long time hatred and animus and enmity between his family and the Russians. And so he was a perfect figure. In the Cold War, Brzezinski was at McGill University, which happens to be one of the key MKUltra universities, by the way. And so Brzezinski wrote this book about the technocratic revolution, or what Klaus later calls in his books the Fourth Industrial Revolution. So understand that it's the same thing. They're referring to the same thing. Klaus's book was 2018. Brzezinski's book is 1970. And so he says that we're going to have to take account of where technology is going, because we are entering into a new revolution, kind of like the Industrial Revolution. But this is something unlike anything else in history. It's not comparable even to the earlier revolutions. It will far exceed that in its impact on human civilization. And one of the first things he talks about, which kind of blew me away, was the way that he describes the malleability of human beings and what they will mutate into. I'm not kidding. So, you know, we think about books like The Island of Dr. Moreau, which I read not too long ago and wrote an essay on, which if you get this edition of it and read it, I highly recommend it. It's one of the H.G. Wells books I read many years ago. If you get this edition, I recommend it because it has an introduction by a person from the Salk Institute. And if you know about Jonas Salk, we've covered his books like Man Unfolding and Survival of the Wisest, about the history of inoculations and genetic experimentation that he favors in terms of Malthusianism. Well, the article at the beginning of the introduction is written by a person from the Salk Institute, and they write about how H.G. Wells was so ahead of his time when it came to human experimentation, for example. And the author of this book, who's a person from the establishment, talks about government experiments using Guatemalans in 1946 to 1948 for human experimentation. The introductory editor talks about human beings can be rewired and retooled, not just from the inside, but also via their environment, and that this could give rise to transhumanism, and that ultimately this would be a challenge for future man to remain man. And so the establishment, as we know, wants to move us past what it is to be human. Brzezinski talked about that in Mutating Man in the very first chapter of Between Two Ages. I'll read what he says. He says that life seems to lack cohesion in terms of modernity with all of these rapidly evolving events and phenomena, man is becoming more and more manipulable and malleable. That's the plasticity of humankind that's talked about in the Island of Dr. Moreau. By the way, the Island of Dr. Moreau is an allegory for the world from the mad scientist perspective, right? The mad scientist wants to do this kind of genetic experimentation on the human race. And so the island is a microcosm, a mini example of what the scientism-based worldview has for the human world as a whole. Brzezinski goes on to say that everything seems more transitory and everything is temporal. External reality is moving to be more and more fluid. It's not solid. There's not stasis, pure flux, Heraclitus. The human being is more synthetic than authentic. Our senses perceive an entirely novel reality, one of our own making, but nevertheless, it is our own sensations, and they're quite real. More importantly, there is already widespread concern about the possibility of biological and chemical tampering with mankind. That has now, up until now, been considered the immutable essence. In other words, men were perceived to have a human nature that makes them man. And if GMO man, if Frankenstein man is the future, then that means that there is no human nature or essence. Man can evolve into anything. Human conduct, some argue, can be predetermined and subject then to deliberate control. Man is increasingly acquiring the capacity to determine, for example, the sexuality of his children and affect that through drugs to the extent of their intelligence and modify and control their personalities. This is MKUltra style stuff that he's referencing. Speaking of a future at most only a few decades away, an experimenter in intelligence control asserted to me, quote, I foresee the time when we shall have the means and therefore the inevitability to and temptation to manipulate the behavior and intellectual functionings of all people through environmental and biochemical manipulations of the brain. That's MKUltra on a mass scale. And that is from a publication that Brzezinski is citing called Computer Technology from 1968. And the use of holography could be used to create the sensations of living presences or alternate realities, as well as creating the actuality of conversations by beaming lasers into the brain from a satellite. So he's talking about the possibility of Skynet mind control in the future. That's actually what it says. That's not me. That's Brzezinski citing that right there. You can read it for yourself. Not making it up. This is not just some random guy. This is, right, he was a national security advisor to many presidents, Obama, for example. He then goes on to talk about other things like weather weapons. And he says that the future, we envision in the future a situation where even the weather can be modified and become a type of a weapon. And now remember, that doesn't exist. It's your conspiracy theory if you talk about that, even though it's in Brzezinski's book on page 57. But also, by the way, it does exist, and we have to do it to put it into climate change and the sun cooking us all, you see. So there's a lot more in that text. That's just a little introduction there to, again, how the establishment views humankind and what the possibilities are for human manipulation. And what better example of human manipulation than false flag operations? But it goes much further than that, because as Klaus and Brzezinski say, it'll be manipulation of the human genome itself. Head on over to my website if you want to support my work at jasonallisons.com. You can buy my
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.